go to the next verse. It's kind of similar ideas, but more detail. Krishna is giving us more detail. In the verse number 12. Asha Pasha Shatair Baddhaha.
Asha Pasha Shatair Baddhaha.
Kam Krodha Parayanaha.
Kam Krodha Parayanaha.
Ihante Kama Bhogartham. Anyaye Nartha Sanchayan.
Anyaye Nartha Sanchayan.
So Asha Pasha. Pasha means ropes. Ropes of hope. Asha means hope, desire. Shatair Baddhaha. They are tied by hundreds of ropes of hope and desire. And Kama Krodha Parayanaha. And they are always have two things with them, Kama and Krodha. Kama is desire, Krodha is anger. Parayana means to take refuge in that. Ihante, they work. Ihante, but for what? Kama Bhogartham, for fulfillment of my selfish desires. And Anyayena Artha Sanchayan. Anyaya, Naya means justice or lawful means. Anyayena means by unlawful means. Artha Sanchayan, acquiring money by unlawful means, by wrong means. So being bound, there is a very interesting, beautiful story. Again, Swami Ishwarananda Ji, a lot of things I get by listening to him. So he tells this story. He says that there were these four people who were farmers and who were together working in a cooperative. And so they collected a lot of grain and a lot of material, and they had this big boat. And so two of them were rowing, and so they loaded this boat and went across. And they had sold all their produce and they made a lot of money. It was a very good harvest. And so they were feeling very good. They bought some seeds and all for next year. And so they loaded them in the boat. And their work was finished early, so they had a few hours. So they said, let's have some fun. You know, we have come to the city. In the village, there is nothing going on. So they became spiritual. They had a few spirits and so they had a few drinks. They were very spiritual, in a very good mood, and very happy. They finally got onto the boat and they said, now we have to go back. So two of them started rowing and the other two were guiding it, you know, with that thing and all. And so they were rowing and rowing for hours. They went on and on. Finally, they were tired. They said, we, you know, definitely have reached the other shore. But it's dark, we can't see, so let's put the anchor here. So they put the anchor. They said, in the morning, it will be a short distance. We will have reached the other side. So they all four went to sleep. And they woke up in the morning, and they said, okay, we should be on the other shore. They are still on the same shore. So they said, what happened? What happened? We have been rowing all night, and two people were rowing, and one person was guiding. He said, we forgot to untie the rope. The rope had been, they had been tied to that other shore. They forgot to untie. So they were rowing and rowing and not getting anywhere. So that's what happens to us. We are so bound to our hopes and desires and things and beings that we don't progress. We think, oh, we are working so hard, doing so much, but we are not getting anywhere. They say, you know, I'm still unhappy. I'm still miserable. Mahatmas tell us, because you are doing this everything. That's what Swami Tejo Mayananji says. If you keep on doing what you have been doing, you will keep on getting the results you have been getting. We don't change. You know, we are still tied down to our old habits. You know, they say, I want to get up in the morning and meditate. I want to get up in the morning and do some prayer. But what to do? I have this habit, you know, I can't get up before 8 o'clock or before 7 o'clock. They say, get up at 5, you know, 5:30 is a very Brahma Muhurat. You can meditate. It's a beautiful time to, you know, take a shower and read some good books. No, we are so tied down to our old habits. And because of these habits, Kama Krodha Parayana, desire and anger becomes our main goal in life. And what is anger? Anger is nothing but desire unfulfilled. When I don't get what I want, then I get angry. When I get what I want, then I become more greedy. And I want more stick. You know, ye bhi chahiye, wo bhi chahiye. When I get what I want, I become greedy. When I don't get what I want, I become become angry. There's another very beautiful story. There was this Mahatma, this saint, who was taking a bath in the river with some of his disciples. And just a few feet from him, there was this man also taking a bath. And he was shouting at his wife and his children, "You never listen to me." You're screaming at the top of his voice, very angry. So Mahatma says, "Why is he shouting?" So they say, "He's very angry." "Angry at who?" "He's angry at his wife and children, can't you see?" So he says, "But when do we shout?" "Well, we shout when somebody is far away." So he said, "But she is so close to him. Why is he shouting?" "Because mentally she is far away." See, when somebody is far away mentally, that's when we shout. Otherwise, two lovers, before they get married, not after. Two lovers, when they are sitting together, how they are whispering to each other, you know. Why? Because nobody should hear. But later on, the shouting starts when the distance increases. The distance is not physical. It is a mental distance. So that's what anger is. Anger is when I am not close to somebody and when I do not get what I want, then and then alone, such people. And that is the problem. You know, there is so much anger. That's why we see all these mass shootings and violence. Somebody got fired from a job, so he goes back and then he kills the boss and then 10 other innocent people. I mean, there is absolutely no... You know, again, it is the society is it's becoming the norm. That is what the norm has been created. And work hard for what? For unlawful means. So I should get what I don't deserve. I should get what I, you know. And you know, there are, we hear stories about these people who are drug dealers, you know. And there was one such guy, within a year or two, made millions and became so rich. Normally, to make that much, you cannot do that in 2-3 years. You have to do. And then he went to Caribbean to open an account and hide his money there. And when he came back, the FBI was waiting for him. So what happened? 5 years in the court, 40 years in jail. And all the money he had acquired, who is enjoying his third wife with her fifth husband, you know? So that's what happens, that people think that by making money, they will enjoy life. But when the money has been made by unlawful means, then you're all the time worried, chinta. That's why it's all connected. Oh, if I will be caught, if I get audited, if the IRS finds out. And even if nobody finds out, the law of karma is infallible. You cannot escape that. If you have made money that you don't deserve, if you have taken from somebody that is not right, if you have hurt somebody, if you have got angry at somebody, if you have been spoken, you know, bad words or harmful means, there is no escape. The law of karma will get you. Every good action gets rewarded. Every bad action is punished. If it doesn't happen right away, it may happen in 1 year, it may happen in 10 years, may happen in next life. But the law of karma will find you wherever you are. There is absolutely no escape. So one cannot think, you know, oh, I made money. As long as I am enjoying, how does it matter? Let the world go to hell. But sooner or later, you will also go. Most of the time, though, it happens in this life itself. If you have harmed somebody, if you have hurt somebody, definitely you will suffer the consequences. There are very few karmas that are transferred to the next life. And such people think that, I can only succeed by destroying others. They work, but they work for destroying others. Like, say, suppose there is a office, you know, in a company, and there is a job of a vice president open, and 10 people are trying for it, and only one person is going to get it, right? The other 9 will not. So some people say, it's okay, you know, it's not meant for me. I was not qualified. Maybe I, you know, next time it comes, I'll work harder, I'll do better. But there are some who say, you know, this rascal who got it, he was totally useless. He got it because he's a son-in-law of the CEO, and that's why he got it. So wait for the right opportunity, and I will make sure I, you know, get him in trouble or I'll catch him. So the whole purpose in life is how I can hurt others, how can I destroy others, how can I bring others down instead of being happy. Okay, somebody is doing well, that's good. You know, maybe I should work harder, then I can also do good. But no, because their mind is full of desire, full of anger. And unfortunately, corruption and dishonesty has become the norm, has become so common, you know, especially in India and a lot of the developing countries. They say everybody is corrupt. So, but when even when good leaders come and they try to change, it takes a lot of time. People just throw things on the streets and cleanliness. And, you know, the leaders say, you know, Swachhta Abhiyan and all. But it each individual has to change. A leader can only do so much, you know, the president or the prime minister or, you know, the senators and the congressmen. They can pass laws, but it's up to people like us. Well, we have to change. We have to follow the laws. We have to do good. We have to be helpful. That's what they say. Spirituality is changing one individual at a time. One person at a time changes. If one person changes, they change the circumstances around them. They change their families. They change their situations. But what we find is that people even compromise these values. These values that we have learned, and all the scriptures have them, you know, the Ten Commandments in the Christianity, in the Dharmapada, the principles of Buddhism, in Islam, there are, you know, values. But unfortunately, people have not understood. The Gita is full of values. You know, everywhere Sri Krishna not only talks about the highest goal, but he says that prayer, meditation cannot happen if your mind is full of anger, if your mind is full of jealousy, full of greed, full of hatred, full of negativity. So purification of mind, you know, purification of your vasanas, of your selfish tendencies, a mind that is pure alone can, you know, this is song na meli chadar odke dwar tumhare aaun. He says, I came with this very clean sheet. It's life. When we start as a newborn, our life is clean. But then over the years, we accumulate negative tendencies, negative habits. So spirituality is nothing but cleanliness. You clean the negativities. You purify your mind. As your mind slowly, slowly becomes pure, becomes less negative, to that extent, the Lord within you will shine. And that's why when we are in the presence of a saint or a Mahatma, you see the Bhagawan, you see Lord in him or in her. Why? Because there is very little selfishness, very little negativity, very little. That's why I said in the beginning that these people who effortlessly practice these values are saints. They don't practice them because they will get something out of us. They're spontaneous. Even when Jesus was even was being crucified, he still did not hate. So this kind of qualities, when people develop, that is called sin. And we can all do that. We can all resolve that from today onwards, I'll practice. That's why these values that are given, the 13th chapter, the Swamiji say that you pick up one per day. Okay, today I will practice Abhayam. Then tomorrow I'll practice Sattva Samshuddhi, purity of mind. And so there are 27 values, so 27 days. And chalo, Sundays you are off. But other days, you know, each day you practice one value and then pick up new ones. In the 12th chapter, again, Sri Krishna has given beautiful, Advaishta Sarva Bhutanam, Santushta Satataim Yogi, Satatma Dhrir Nishchaya. In the 13th chapter, Sri Krishna has again given values. So you pick up these values each day and then you practice them. Okay, today I'll be more kind. Today I'll be more loving. Today I'll be unselfish. Today I'll do something for somebody without expecting anything in return. You know, always people do what I say. Today I will do what my partner wants. So when you practice these values, then what happens is you develop the skill. It becomes spontaneous. It's like a child goes to school, and when she goes there in the kindergarten, you know, she doesn't know anything in the preschool. They don't know how to read or write, don't know arithmetic, you know, A, B, C, D is nothing. And then they learn A, B, C, D. Now I know my, you know, all those, all the grandparents know that. So they learn their ABCs and they learn their math and English and all, and then they develop this skill. Then it becomes spontaneous. Then you ask the child, what is 2 plus 2? He doesn't need to think. Why? Because it has become part of his life. And then slowly they learn algebra and, you know, geometry and trigonometry and so on, and science and all. So similarly, these values are like a skill that we have forgotten. We all have them, but we have forgotten the skill. So we, just as a child starts from school, from scratch, so you say, I'm also going to start developing these values. I'm going to make my life better, and I'm going to make the life better of people around me. I'm going to become a light for others. I'm going to become a help for others. And then soon with practice, these values become spontaneous. It's like education. The child doesn't need to think. Automatically, these answers come. So similarly, such a person automatically practices. So that is the point of these verses. Again, I said, it's not meant to depress us that say, oh, all of society is like that. But it is meant to look within that, do I have these qualities? Do I get angry? Am I being selfish? Am I hurtful? Am I not compassionate? How am I earning my living? Am I being honest? Am I being dishonest? And see them. And then if you have them, eliminate them and then develop the positive qualities. And this for all of us. That's why Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda says that this 16th chapter is for all of us. It's not only for, you know, the criminals on the streets, but it is for everybody to apply. So we end here. Any questions or any comments about this particular verse?
This scribble or negativity, right, or whatever, you just don't want to participate.
No, that's good. So that's what they say. That is a sign that you are changing, you know, that these, because this knowledge will have an effect. The more you put in, into your mind, it definitely has. But the problem is that we have years and years of, you know, old habits. So it takes a while, but it does happen. And you'll see in yourself the change. That's what somebody asked Swami Chidananda, how do I know I'm progressing spiritually? He said, things that used to bother you, if they don't bother you anymore, that means you are progressing. You know, you used to get irritated and all. So this is another sign that, you know, you are careful about what you put in your head, what kind of books you read and all. Yeah, that's good.
Or activities that you may have enjoyed before and you don't do them anymore, and you've lost desire for that too.
True. You know, late night parties and things like that. Yeah, you know, we don't look forward to that anymore. You know, that's true.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because we are getting old. But it's also that your interests change. You know, if you have to get up in the 5 in the morning to meditate or 5:30, you don't want to sleep at 12, 1 and 2 and all. You know, you say, oh, it's going to affect my morning or meditation or yoga or, you know, whatever your spiritual sadhana you're doing, prayers or whatever, you know, it interferes.
Priorities
change, yes. But this knowledge definitely helps. You know, listening to the Bhagavad Gita, listening to the all these beautiful teachers that come, at least whatever little I know is I've learned from them, you know, from all these swamis who come here. Yeah.
I think about desire unfulfilled and anger.
No, I think I read somewhere that the U.S. has 2% of the world's population and 30% of the world's mass murderers. 30%. So it's not that there is more mental illness in this country. It's the availability of guns. See, in another country, if somebody is unhappy, what does he do? He goes out and slaps somebody because he doesn't have a gun. At the most, he has a knife. He can stab one. But here, anybody can buy a, you know, AK-47. You can just go and buy it. They don't check you. In fact, they used to want to do these checkups. They can't do that anymore. So a person with mental illness, a person with unresolved issues can buy whatever he wants. And so these people go into the malls with these multi, you know, which can shoot like 100 bullets in 1 second. Why do they need that? If somebody wants for hunting, they should get a hunting rifle. Why do they need a Uzi submachine gun or AK-47? The problem is the Second Amendment. The problem is the availability of guns. And when there are guns, and guns come in the hand of people who are not mentally stable, that's what happens. No, nowhere else in the world you can buy guns that easily. Not in Britain, not in France, not in India, not in Africa, nowhere. It's only here that guns are free. Not even in Canada. In Canada, you don't hear, they are the same people. You don't hear of mass murders because we have too many guns. In Canada, yeah, you're not allowed to own. Same thing in England. Only the police are allowed to own guns. Yeah, even in India, legally you cannot buy. I mean, illegally few people may have them, but it's very rare. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, Hari Om Shri Guru Namah, Hari Om. Thank you very much.